Following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talk of Yom Dalet, Parshas Bay, Gimel Shvat, and Shabbos Parshas Bay, Vav Shvat, Hey Tav Shinun Beis, that corresponds to the year 1992. Parshas Bay has the distinction that it is the Parsha that recounts the liberation and the exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt, after hundreds of years of back-breaking slave labor. Now, since the name of the parsha is connected to its content, so it's therefore certain that the name of this parsha, the parsha of the Exodus, which is Bay El Pare, come to Pharaoh, has a very special connection to the Exodus from Egypt, not just one detail out of a whole collection of details, but a very unique connection to the mission that Moshe had to Pharaoh. And this is puzzling, the Rebbe says, because the command that God gave Moshe, Bo El Paro, come to Pharaoh, indicates that Pharaoh is the one who is in control. He is in the prime of his strength, and Moshe has to depend on his mercy and his willingness to cooperate, that Paro was on top and Moshe, it seems, is beneath him. When we talk about the Exodus from Egypt, it has the opposite implication, that the Jewish people are liberated from all of the limits imposed on them by Pharaoh. They're no longer beholden to Pharaoh. So the name of the Parsha and its content seem to be mutually exclusive. So in order to understand that, we have to first understand what is the meaning of the words Bo El Paro, come to Pharaoh, in terms of its relevance to us. Because the Torah and its instructions are eternal. So what is the lesson embedded in the words Bo El Paro now, after Paro has died ages ago, and the spirit of impurity that came from Paro had already been abolished long time ago, so what relevance does it have to us today? However, while the wicked Pharaoh is dead, and there's no memory of him, nevertheless, there's always a spiritual source, a holy source, that even things that are lowly in this world have, and the source of Paro, that means the Paro within the realm of holiness, exists even today. But we still have to understand, how do we apply that to the words, come to Pharaoh, when we deal with the Pharaoh in the realm of holiness? So the Zohar explains, when it talks about the literal Paro, the Paro of Klipa, the evil Paro, the lower level Paro, the Zohar addresses the word that is used here, Bo El Paro, come to Pharaoh, instead of the more conventional Lech El Paro, go to Pharaoh. And the Zohar explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was intimidated from the Klipa, the power, force of Paro, who was called Hatanin Hagadol, the great serpent. And because of this fear, Hashem says to him, Bo El Paro, come with me, and we will go together to Paro. But that can be said when it comes to Paro in its literal context. But how do we apply that when we talk about Paro, who is not the evil Paro, but it's the holy source of Paro? Why would Moshe hesitate, and why would he be intimidated and need special assistance from God to come to this spiritual level? And the Rebbe explains that the spiritual Paro represents the revelation of the most sublime spiritual light, and that the way they are revealed down here is perua. The word paro's root is perua, means totally exposed. There's no order, there's no progression, there's no way of tempering this light. This powerful revelation can come only from God's very essence, who transcends every measurement, every order, every limitation, every boundary. And Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that he could not tolerate, he could not contain such a powerful light. To go to the Nile, or to anything that represents the level of holiness that can be absorbed, that can be internalized within us, Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem with. But to get to Paro himself means to get to that aspect of the divine that transcends everything, that Moshe, who felt that he is a limited, finite creature, how could he absorb it? How could he receive it? And that's why when Paro said, the day that you will see my face, you will die, and Moshe says, yes, Cain Dibarta, you're right, the way you spoke, that's true, that has some basis in fact, in reality, because Moshe on his own couldn't retain and contain the energy that was being generated by the holy level of Paro, and that would lead to his passing. That's why God says to Moshe, Bo El Paro, come with me, because when God himself takes Moshe, there's no problem. You cannot be deterred by the powerful energy. You have the ability to combine opposites and to make it possible that even a finite being, a soul contained within a body, could receive the most transcendent, the most sublime revelations of godliness. This miracle that Moshe Rabbeinu as a soul within a body, and that has a limit, it has its boundaries, would be able to receive and internalize the most sublime revelations of godliness, this was not just some miracle that God performed, but it had a very special connection to and was an integral part of the very Exodus from Egypt. The Exodus from Egypt was only for one objective, Matan Torah, to get to the time and the place where the Torah would be given. And it says that clearly in the Torah, Behitziacha Zaam Mitzrayim Tavdunas Holikim Alhar Hazeh. When you take the nation out of Egypt, Hashem says to Moshe, you will serve God on this mountain. So the whole Exodus is connected to its objective, which is Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. What is the novelty, the innovation of Matan Torah? It's the unification of the upper and the lower. At Matan Torah, God gave the power, the instruction to fulfill Torah mitzvahs within the physical world and to see the fulfillment of the godly objective to make this world, this physical world, a dwelling place for God, that even the physical world, the limited world, the finite world, could become a dwelling place for none other than God himself, the total unification of the upper and the lower. Now, a significant part of this process of undoing the separation between the upper and the lower was expressed through and realized through God's command to Moshe when he says, come with me to Pharaoh. That means Moshe's body, this physical body, its limited body, will be able to absorb the most sublime revelations, the infinite revelations of godliness. That's the connection of the words, come with me to Pharaoh, to the Exodus. This is what the Exodus is all about. It's about enabling us to receive the highest energy, the highest divine energy, which became a reality for everyone at the time the Torah was given at Mount Sinai. So that answers the initial question, what is the connection of the words Bo El Paro to the Exodus? To understand this even better, we have to preface that a similar problem, similar dilemma arose when Moshe was sent initially to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Moshe was kvad peh v'kvad lashon, heavy mouth, heavy tongue. He had a speech impediment. And he was, spiritually speaking, on a level way above the average person, and he couldn't have a connection and a relationship with them, a spiritual relationship. That's why he said, and he did not want to be the one to take the Jews out of Egypt. He felt he didn't have that connection. And to that argument, Hashem responded, Mi sam peh l'adam, who gave a mouth to a person? Just like I gave a mouth to all people so they could communicate, I could also make it possible for you that you could speak to the people and you will succeed in getting through to them. And that's exactly what happened. That very problem existed when Paro had to be seen. Moshe had to go to Paro. And we're talking about the highest level of Paro. How do you connect that to a physical body? That's why God gave him the power of his essence in order to facilitate the souls within bodies, within finite bodies, should be able to receive the most sublime energies that come from God himself. Because that indeed is the whole objective of creation, that even the most finite beings in this physical world should be able to be a dwelling place for God himself. And that became the preparation for the Exodus, because the whole objective of the Exodus was the Jewish people to receive the Torah, not as disembodied souls, but souls within bodies and healthy bodies. And the power for this Moshe Rabbeinu got when he heard the command, Bo El Paro, come with me to Paro, and he transmitted this to all of the Jewish people. And from this we have our instruction that even when we are limited, souls within physical bodies, in a physical world, we do have the power to receive the Torah and its commandments, which is God's will and his wisdom that transcend all limitations, and the most sublime spiritual energy, the infinite light of God. Why? Because we are connected to God's very essence, which empowers us to do the impossible. Now we can understand an interesting thing that happened in the last moments just prior to the Exodus from Egypt. After many years of slavery, what should have been the aspiration of the people? To be free. And that would have been the exclusive desire and aspiration, because they were slaves for so long. But precisely then, God emphasizes the need that the Egyptians should give their wealth to the Jewish people, and that God put the chen, the positive feeling for the Jewish people in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they more than happily would give them of their belongings, of their wealth. Why was this so important to happen before the Exodus, when the primary concern was getting out of Egypt? So the Rebbe explains that this giving of the wealth of Egypt by the Egyptians to the Jewish people expressed the idea that they were elevating the holy sparks that were embedded within Egypt. And that's why it was important that the Egyptians give it willingly, in order to express how far holiness permeated the lowest of the low. That the lowest forces of the world, the Egyptian taskmasters and people who enslaved the Jews, and all the other negative things about them, they themselves were willingly support the Jewish people and give them of their wealth. That's why God commanded the Jewish people to borrow silver and gold utensils, and then says, Nasan is chein ha'am, b'ein mitzrayim, the peoples found favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, because this was the fulfillment of God's promise that he made to Abraham, that they will be slaves, but they will leave with great wealth. And this manifested itself by virtue of the fact that the Egyptians willingly gave, and they liked the Jewish people. That means that the bottom, the lowest of the levels, was being affected and elevated. However, what happened in Egypt was only the beginning of the refinement of the world. It was the first step, and that's why they had to run out of Egypt. They had to go in haste, running away from the negativity and the evil, because this was only the first step in that process. But in the current situation, in the redemption that will come now imminently, the world will have reached its complete fulfillment, complete refinement, and the world itself will assist us in bringing about the complete redemption. All this, the Rebbe says, is connected to Yud Shvat, the day in which the previous Rebbe, whom the Rebbe refers to as my father-in-law, the leader of our generation, who's the sixth leader of Chabad, this is the day that his soul left this world. And that too was connected to the Parsha Bo, the day of the passing of a tzaddik, which is called Hilula, the wedding, the unification, reunification of the soul of the tzaddik with God. That day, which we referred to as the Hilula, every year, on the anniversary of that event, the neshama, the soul, goes to a higher and higher level. And from that perch, it inspires us, it gives us blessing and salvation to us and the whole world. And to translate this in the language of this parsha, on the 10th of Shvat, the previous Rebbe, who's the Moshe Rabbeinu of our generation, sees the fulfillment of Bo El Paro, come with me to Pharaoh, which we said before was the revelation of the most sublime and the most essential spiritual and divine energies. That is regenerated on this day of Yud Shvat, and through these revealed energies, he influences and inspires the Jewish people as they are souls within bodies in this physical world. However, the previous Rebbe is receiving these energies as he is a soul without a body. And even when he was physically in this world, he suffered tremendous pain and suffering that stood in the way of his ability to teach Hasidus, to such an extent that a doctor asked him, how could this be? Someone whose whole life is about spreading the fountains of Hasidus, transmitting this knowledge by speaking, by teaching, should be lacking in his ability to communicate verbally, to speak. And this argument is not just from the perspective of a doctor, but this argument is legitimate even from the perspective of Torah. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, if I'm a kvad peh, kvad lashon, I have the speech impediment, I don't have the ability to liberate the Jewish people from Egypt. And God had to perform a miracle to empower him to do that. So that is a legitimate argument that Moshe Rabbeinu used. And therefore, the previous Rebbe, the eighth generation from the Baal Shem Tov, because the world had not yet reached its full measure of refinement, that's why it manifested itself in a deficiency in his ability to speak. But the tikkun, the correction of his ability to speak, has happened in our generation, the ninth generation of the Baal Shem Tov. This is the generation of Mashiach, who completes the work of Moshe, and also the work and the efforts of all of our Rebbes and all of our leaders. And for him, speech is healthy and complete, and he will live with eternal life and reveal godliness in the highest way to souls within bodies, down here in this world. And the Rebbe says we could connect this with the day of the week in which Yud Shvat occurs this year, the year in which the Rebbe said this talk, which is on a Wednesday, the day that the two luminaries were put into place. And the connection is as follows. On Yud Shvat, God removed luminaries. He removed the soul of the previous Rebbe, but it's also the day when he brought in the luminaries and put them in place, because there's an incredible aliyah, elevation, that happens to the neshama in our generation that brings all of the efforts of the previous Rebbe and the ability to receive this most powerful light down here, a soul within a body. And we'll see vividly, very clearly, how this generation is the generation of redemption. Where do we see this? By virtue of the fact that the fountains of Hasidus have been disseminated throughout the entire world, and even non-Jews are being influenced to observe their seven mitzvahs, the seven Noahide commandments, and that we see that even non-Jews are interested that the Jewish people should lead us and the whole world to the complete and true redemption. It therefore follows that the Geula, the redemption, had to have come already a long time ago. And certainly now is the most appropriate, most fitting time, the most opportune time for the coming of Mashiach. And now the true and complete redemption has to come immediately, literally, in this world and throughout all of the worlds. In actuality, in practical terms, we have to accept upon ourselves good resolutions to increase in the observance of Torah and mitzvahs, to do it with excellence and beauty, and to do it in connection with the Hilula, the day of the previous Rebbe's passing, and to increase specifically in the study of the teachings of the previous Rebbe in order to complete and perfect his power of speech that he was deficient of. In addition, it should be indicated that the previous Rebbe was very much engaged in dissemination of Torah to all the Jewish people, including men, women, and children. And this is a novelty, because in earlier generations, the leaders of the Jewish people were disseminating Torah to men. The previous Rebbe disseminated it to women and to children, and increased the learning of Torah in those ranks as well. And this is continuing to spread throughout the whole world. And this also serves as a lesson for us, that we should engage in the dissemination of Torah to women and children. And children also have a special talent that they could spread and influence others, because children have a tendency to take a piece of food and to break it up into crumbs. That means, metaphorically, they can take the food, and someone who can't eat a whole piece can now be served the little crumbs. And that's the metaphor for being able to spread the knowledge to everyone around them, even people who are on a lower level. And the women also have the ability, by lighting their Shabbos candles and their holiday candles, to illuminate the house entirely, the whole house, with the light of holiness. What is the central theme of all of the above? That a Jew has to be capable of receiving the most sublime godly energy, and he has to be permeated with Torah and mitzvahs, and he has to reach the level of Paro in the realm of holiness, the level that is referred to in the Zohar, Ispiril Kol Neharin, all the lights were exposed, the most sublime revelation of godliness that transcends all limits, but it has to also happen precisely within the parameters of the soul, within the body, and a healthy body. And even if during this period of waiting for the redemption, one's father or mother passes away, the ultimate goal is for the elevation that will come to a higher level. And the essential thing, the Rebbe concludes, that by taking all these resolutions, including participating in all of the efforts that are made and all the customs that are associated with Yud Shvat, beginning with Farbrengens, with gatherings that should be planned for all different places on this day, and the week preceding Yud Shvat and the week after it, all of these efforts will bring to the true and complete redemption, when we'll celebrate the Hilula together with the previous Rebbe in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Holy of Holies, and we will see the fulfillment of the prediction of the promise, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed, God will reign forever and ever. A summary of the synopsis. The highest revelation, the revelation itself, and the manner of the revelation is summed up in the words Paro de Kedusha, Pharaoh as he exists in the realm of holiness. That means the exposure of the highest and most sublime spiritual light. And that has to come from God's very essence. Since Moshe, his root, the root of his soul, was from the world of Tohu, the world of chaos, a world in which there's powerful energy but very limited vessels and instruments to transmit that energy, and therefore it can't contain the powerful energy, and that's why Moshe was impaired in terms of his speech, because his vessels, his physical body, couldn't contain the powerful energy within him, so he was concerned that coming into the house of Pharaoh and entering into the spiritual realm and counterpart of Pharaoh, remaining a soul within a body with its limits, that he could not take such powerful energy, the energy coming from God's essence. And that's why God says to him, Bo el Paro, not go to Paro, but come with me to Paro, that Moshe Rabbeinu should come together with Hashem, that God gave him the power of his very essence that enables this fusion, these two opposites coming together. The physical, limited, finite body should be able to contain within it, internalizing within it, the most sublime, incredible, and phenomenal revelations of God's essence. Now, the reason for this great miracle to happen, that a finite human being should be able to become unified with God's essence, The reason why this was necessary, because the whole goal of the Exodus from Egypt was to get the Torah. And what is the Torah all about? The giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai? Through the giving of the Torah and the commandments to the Jewish people, the whole goal of creation would be fulfilled. What is the whole goal of creation, of not just this world, but of all the spiritual worlds? That even within the constraints and the limits of this physical world, which is a concealment of God's presence, and even within a soul that is contained within a lowly body, God's essence should be revealed within that framework, within that context. As it says, Yisrael v'kutshabricha kul echad, Israel, and the Holy One, blessed is He, is truly one. That means that there's a total unification of God and us. To use the language of our sages in the Midrash, God desired to have a dwelling where? B'tachtainim, in the lowest of the levels. And through our efforts, through Torah and mitzvahs, we affect the revelation of God's essence in the entire world and throughout the entire evolution of worlds, of spiritual worlds, coming from up, down, all the way down to our physical world, which is the whole goal of creation in the first place. And as a preparation for this, Moshe also had to go through this unification, this paradox, that he would be able to internalize this incredible energy, sublime energy coming from God's essence contained within his physical body. And through his experience, since he was the leader, he extended this possibility to all of the Jewish people later on when the Torah was given at Mount Sinai. Consequently, the words, Bo El Paro, come to Pharaoh, is actually the beginning of the process of the redemption from Egypt, and also serves as the beginning of the redemption that will come, the true and complete redemption. The Rebbe says on Yud Shvat, the Baal HaHilula, the previous Rebbe, sees the fulfillment of Bo El Paro, that he experiences these essential, divine, sublime energies. And every year it goes higher and higher, infinitely higher and higher. And from the leader, it extends itself and manifests itself to all the members of the generation. And despite the fact that the Baal HaHilula, his Bo El Paro, his experience of Bo El Paro, is now a soul without a body, and even when he was in this physical world, he was in a state where his speech was impaired, his speech was in exile. Why? The Rebbe says, because in his time, the fulfillment of the complete refinement of the world had not yet happened. What happened in Egypt was only the beginning, and it did not reach its zenith, its completion, until, the Rebbe says, our generation, that will take place with souls within their bodies. This is the ninth generation from the Baal Shem Tov. And this is the novelty of our generation, that in all the previous generations, we did not see the fulfillment of how the energy was contained within a physical body. The leaders left this world. But this generation will be one in which we will be able to retain it and contain it within the physical world, within the physical body. And that everyone, the Jewish people, and even the nations of the world, will become receptive vessels to this most sublime energy. And this occurs when we disseminate Torah and Judaism and the fountains of Torah, and also disseminating the seven Noahide commandments throughout the world. And therefore, we can now see that not only are the Jewish people ready for the redemption, but even the nations of the world are ready, because the world has reached its state of refinement, and they are ready that the Jewish people should come out of gullus, come out of exile. And it follows then that the redemption, because we have already completed the process of refinement, the Rebbe says, should have come a long time ago. But it certainly has to come now, and the emphasis is that we should not just see a redemption in a spiritual vein, but it has to be seen with our eyes of flesh physically, because spiritually everything is fulfilled, everything is complete. Now it has to come down into our physical world. And the Rebbe says, since the deed, the action is the essential thing, the Rebbe gives us five instructions. Number one, to make resolutions, to increase the learning of Torah and the observance of mitzvahs, behidur, with beauty and excellence. That's true about our own learning, but also it's true about teaching others to see that our whole being and their being is completely permeated with the light of mitzvahs and the light of Torah beyond all limits, in a way that every Jew becomes receptive to receive the highest, most sublime lights that are connected to Paro, the spiritual dimension of Paro, and that it should be done when the soul is within the body, in this physical world, in a healthy body. That was the first instruction, to make proper resolutions to increase Torah mitzvahs. Second, to increase specifically in the learning of the teachings of the previous Rebbe and fulfilling his instructions, and that's true for ourselves and also for others. And the emphasis should be to make complete that which was lacking, that the previous Rebbe's speech was lacking. Number three, to increase in our activities and strengthen the activities of Yud Shvat to have an effect on the men, women, and children, each person according to his or her level. Number four, to participate in all the activities and all the customs that are connected to Yud Shvat. And number five, to participate in the special farbrengens, the gatherings of Yud Shvat and the Shabbos before and after. In terms of the highlights of this gathering, of this farbrengen of Parshas Bay, the Rebbe says, we see in actuality how the nations of the world in many, many countries are supporting the Jewish people in their efforts, even more than it was in the time of the Exodus, to the extent that even that country that was a prison for so many years and did not allow the Jewish people to live Jewishly or to leave, recently, things changed from one extreme to another, 180-degree change. And not only do they allow Jews to live as they want to observe Torah mitzvahs, and to let them leave, those who want to leave, but moreover, they support them in these efforts, to the extent that we see that there's a situation in which the Jewish people are ready. All of you are ready for the Geula, for the redemption. Even the nations of the world are ready, prepared for the Jewish people to leave their golos, their exile, and go to the land of Israel with a true and complete redemption. Another excerpt from this, we understand what is the novelty, what is the challenge, a special new challenge of our generation, the ninth generation, going back all the way to the Baal Shem Tov, and especially the connection to the eighth generation. Since the redemption did not come in actuality, the Bo El Paro, the coming to Pharaoh, the revelation of these highest sublime lights down here before this generation, was not possible for it to be realized in the most perfect way, namely a soul within a body and a healthy body. And that's why there was histalkos, there was the passing of the soul from the body. And even when the soul was within the body, and the Rebbe is referring to the previous Rebbe, it was in a state that his speech was in a state of exile, etc. By contrast, our generation, which is the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption, this is the generation in which God will hang up the luminaries. That means not only will there be nothing lacking in the luminaries, the two luminaries metaphorically correspond to the written Torah and the oral Torah, but there'll be an increase, a much higher increase. There will be no longer any speech impediment in the oral Torah or speech impediment in the written Torah, because we'll transcend these impediments in a way that the souls within bodies will be able to internalize the highest, most sublime lights that will be put into place now by virtue of the fact that Mashiach is coming immediately. As it says, Shlach Nabiyat Tishlach, send, please, the one who you will eventually send, that which refers to Mashiach, and Mashiach will teach Torah to everyone until we will see the fulfillment of the words, Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitze, a new dimension of Torah will come from God and will be taught through Mashiach. And in the book, Besuras HaGeula, the announcement of the redemption, where the Rebbe focuses on and emphasizes the aspects of the imminence of redemption, the Rebbe says as follows, there is an innovation unique to our generation, the ninth from the Baal Shem Tov, over all preceding generations, and that includes the previous one, the eighth one. What is the innovation? Since the redemption had not actually occurred then, so the words, come to Pharaoh, which is the revelation of all the lights to those who are below, that was not completely perfect. It didn't happen as a soul within a healthy body, because the soul was detached from the body, and also the soul, when it was in a body, was in the situation of his speech was in exile, etc. The Rebbe then says, this is not the case with our generation, the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption, when imminently and immediately the lights, referring to the sun and the moon, will be hung. Not only is nothing lacking in the great lights, the revelation of the written Torah and the oral Torah, but just the opposite, for this generation will realize a greater perfection in the revelation of the both written and oral Torah. There will no longer be the speech impediments in the transmission of the oral and written Torah. Rather, they will be transcended. Those limits will be transcended. Even souls within bodies will internalize the revelation of all the lights that were quote-unquote hung now. That's a term used in reference to the sun and the moon that were hung in place. So this refers here to the spiritual energies of Torah will be put into place now by virtue of the imminent arrival of a righteous Mashiach who will teach Torah to all the people, including what it says, a new Torah, a new dimension of Torah will go forth from me. We see in reality, as mentioned many times previously, how all the nations of the world in many countries are assisting the Jewish people in their divine service to an even greater degree than it was during the Exodus from Egypt. Even that country, and the Rebbe is referring to the former Soviet Union, which was closed and locked for many years and which did not permit Jews to emigrate, etc., and did not allow the proper observance of the Torah and mitzvahs, even that country has recently changed from one extreme to the other. Now, not only are Jews permitted to live there as they please, and even to emigrate, but even more so, the country actually assists the Jewish people in these efforts. Things have changed to such an extent that we can see today in reality that in addition to the Jews being ready, and all of you, for the redemption, the nations of the world are also ready. They stand ready, ready all of you, for the Jews to go out from exile and to go to the land of Israel in the true and complete redemption. And with our souls in bodies, without any interruption at all, we will come immediately to the full realization of come to Paro with the true and complete redemption. The completion of the revelation of all the lights will be revealed, and you, O Lord, will be a light for the world. It has been mentioned many times that all the appointed times have passed, and everything is concluded, and the redemption should have come long ago. But for totally incomprehensible reasons, it has not yet come. Therefore, it follows that now the redemption must come imminently and immediately. And to employ a colloquial expression, this is high time for the true and complete redemption. In terms of spiritual matters, including the highest levels of spirituality, there already is perfection, including also the most spiritually complete state of redemption. Thus, the spiritual eyes of the Jew can already see it. We must open now our physical eyes that they too should see the redemption in a way that is clearly visible to eyes of flesh in our time. Of practical relevance, the Rebbe says, everyone should resolve that his study of the previous Rebbe's Torah should complete and compensate for that which was lacking in the dissemination and spreading of the wellsprings due to the speech impediment of my sainted father-in-law. One accomplishes this both through one's own learning out loud as well as spreading of the wellsprings to others.